And last Sunday morning, we began to look at the importance of training up a child. You remember we looked at the first four words in that verse in Proverbs 22. Train up a child. Train up a child. The New Testament equivalent is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, where it says, "Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, by the way, that word fathers can be translated as both parents, fathers and mothers. But it says, it speaks there about bringing up the children in Proverbs 22. It's training up the children, but really it's the same thing. And last Sunday we spoke about training up the child, and we said that the idea is of a newborn child, and the mother comes along to the child, to the little one, and she puts some food in the child's mouth. She gives the child a taste of something. And then the little one begins to suck and thirst and hunger. The mother whets the appetite of the little one. Well, you see, that's what the Bible is teaching. That's the idea when it says that we as parents and as grandparents, we're to train up a child. We are to give them a taste. We want the child, we're not talking about tasting food here, because the children, they like to taste the food. We know that very well. But we're talking here about spiritual taste. We want the children to taste the bitterness of salvation, the bitterness of sin. The bitterness of sin. Now, you will notice I didn't say we want the children to taste sin, because we don't. But we want them to taste the bitterness of sin. We want them to realize what a bitter, what a terrible thing sin is. We want them to realize that sin, yes, it has a kick, but it also has a kick back. And we want the children to know that it's far better not to even get involved in the sin, to stay away from the sin. As one of the, you remember Solomon at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, one of the statements he makes is, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Whenever others tempt you to get involved in sin, to do what's wrong, to do what God says is harmful, don't get involved in it. Consent thou not. We want the children to taste the bitterness of sin, to know that it's a terrible thing. There's a little children's chorus, "Sin, sin, a terrible thing." Oh, that God would open the eyes of the children and the young people to realize the truth of that chorus. But we not only want the children to taste the bitterness of sin, but we want them to taste the sweetness of salvation. You see, the Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." We want the children to taste the goodness of the Lord. We want them to taste the goodness and the sweetness of His salvation. You see, whenever a person realizes the bitterness of sin, but then they realize the sweetness of salvation, my, the Savior is sweet. To be forgiven is a sweet thing. To have your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb, my, it's the sweetest thing of all. Just to be able to rest upon the finished work of Christ. Oh, the sweetness of it. The hymn writer said, "To Calvary, Lord, in spirit now our weary souls repair, to dwell upon thy dying love and taste its sweetness there. Sweet resting place of every heart that feels the plague of sin, yet knows that deep mysterious joy, the peace of God within." So, whenever Solomon said, "Train up a child," he was speaking, as it were, of a sample. Parents, grandparents, do your best to give that child of yours, that child that you're responsible for, do your best to give them a taste for the good things of God, for His Word. Give them a taste for His Word. Give them a taste for the gospel. Give them a taste for that which is holy and pure. Give them a sample and pray for them that they'll not only taste the bitterness of sin, but they'll taste the sweetness of salvation. The sample, we could say, but you know, last week we talked about a support, because we said that Solomon here is not only referring to the mother coming to the newborn babe and putting that little dab of food in the mouth of the child, but the idea is also of a gardener in the garden, and there's a little tree that's just been planted, a little sapling. And the little sapling needs support. Support. The gardener, he plants the little tree, but he knows that the wind will come, and he wants some sort of support for the sapling, and so he puts in the canes, the little rods, alongside the little tree, and then he ties everything together, and there's the support. Sometimes you get gardeners, and they'll put like a cone around the little tree, right around, all the way up, to protect, to support the little tree. And that's the idea here that Solomon has in mind. There's not only the illustration from the kitchen, but the illustration from the garden. You see, the little tree, the little sapling, as it grows up, it tends to go crooked, to grow in a twisted way. But if the canes are there and the support is there, then the little tree will grow up straight. It'll have the support. So Solomon says, train up a child. Be a support to the child as it grows. And of course, the idea here is of instilling in the child good habits. Forming good habits in the life of the child. And as parents and grandparents, and even as a congregation, as we think about the Bible Club next week, we want the children who come under our influence to have good habits, to grow up with good habits. As parents, we teach the children to brush their teeth twice a day, don't we? But I wonder, do we teach them the importance of coming to God's house twice on a Sunday? I wonder, do we teach them the importance of spending time reading the Bible and praying twice a day, morning and night? As parents, we teach the children the importance of caring for themselves, and as they grow, the importance of looking after themselves, and we want to instill good habits into the child. We teach the child that there are dangers out there. There are people out there who could harm the children. But I wonder, do we also teach the children the dangers of the enemy who's out there and he wants to destroy their souls? Yes, Solomon here, I believe when he speaks about training up a child, he's speaking about forming good habits in the life of the child. We are to teach the children the importance of coming to God's house, the importance of thankfulness, we could say. How often as parents we teach the children the importance of saying please and thank you. But I wonder today, as parents and grandparents, as a congregation, I wonder how often we teach or how often we taught our children to say thank you to God. Yes, it's important to say thank you to others. It's important to say please to others. But do we teach the children the importance of saying thank you to God and please to God? Whenever we come to God in prayer, do we ever use that word please? Or do we just come into God's presence and demand and tell the Lord what we want? You give me this, Lord, give me that. No, the attitude we ought to have and we want to instill it and ingrain it into our children is that we come before God and we're just beggars. And Lord, if it is your will, grant me this request. Lord, if it pleases you, I humbly request, I humbly ask, Lord, that you'll give it to me. Oh, the importance of forming good habits, good spiritual habits in the life of the child. Of course, there's the importance of leading the way. Not just telling children what to do, but doing it ourselves. The power of example. But you see, the importance of instilling good habits into the child can't be overstated. Friends, we want the children to grow up coming to the house of God, reading the Bible, listening to the Word of God. We want them to do this as second nature. We want these things to become second nature so that when the child grows up into teenage years and then into adult years, that it'll just be second nature and, oh, we go to church on Sunday. It's what we do and we don't even think about not going. Doesn't even come into the equation. We go to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, prayer meeting. That's another important aspect of raising a child. Bringing the little ones to the place of prayer. Getting children and young people used to being in a prayer meeting. Friends, is it not the tragedy that in Ulster today that the majority of prayer meetings you go to, there are no young people? I'm not trying to depress you today. I'm not being a pessimist today, but that's the reality. And our desire, our longing today is that God would fill our prayer meetings with young people. Oh, that God would revive our land so that he would fill the prayer meetings with babes crying out to God. During times of revival, that's what happened. Children were in prayer meetings and they didn't just come to prayer meetings, but in the playground at school, the children were praying, falling on their knees, crying out to God. That's what we need today. Where is our hope of survival, save in thy life-giving breath? I believe when Solomon says to train up a child, he's saying, bring the little ones to the church. Bring them to the prayer meeting. And God will bless you for it. And by the way, here's a message for those who are older. Whenever children are in church and in a prayer meeting and they make noise, don't you make a big issue out of it. Thank God that they're even in the church. Thank God they're even in the prayer meeting. And what odds about the noise? What odds about the talking? And what odds about the noise that the little ones make? And then they'll fidget, yes, and they'll thistle. But praise God they're in the church. Praise God they're in a prayer meeting. So let's not make it hard for parents who make the effort to bring them to church and make the effort to bring them to prayer meetings. Because I know what has happened, not in this church, but I've been in churches and the little one makes a mute and you know this is what happens. You know, and everybody's turning round and they look at the parents and if looks could kill. I want to tell you today that's a disgrace. That's a disgraceful way for other members of the congregation to behave. And it's a discouragement to parents bringing the little ones. And it ought not to happen. We ought to encourage parents. We ought to encourage them as they make the effort. And it's not an easy thing to sit with young children and to keep them quiet. No, it's not an easy thing. And there ought to be grace in the response of others in the congregation. Train Up a Child, we talked about the mother whetting the appetite of the little one. We talked about the gardener putting the support up for the little tree. But let me come today and move on. We want to try to finish this text today. What does the rest of the verse say? Train up a child in the way he should go. That's important. In the way he should go. You see, that part of the verse is teaching us that we are to be signposts to the children. We are to be a signpost to the children and to the young people. Train up the child in the way he should go. Now you'll notice Solomon didn't say in the way he would go. The way he would go. You see, a child left to himself or herself, they'll go in the wrong direction. They won't go in the way they should go. They'll go the way they want to go, and because of their corrupt heart, they'll go the wrong way. But Solomon doesn't say the way they would go, he says the way they should go. So in other words, as parents and grandparents, we're to be signposts pointing the right way. Showing the child, teaching the child, telling the child the way to go. And we are to be signposts to the Savior. We are to point the children to Christ. You see, John chapter 14 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way. Now Solomon says, train up a child in the way. Jesus says, I am the way. That means we have got to point the children to Jesus. We have got to point them to Christ. Yes, we teach them the Ten Commandments because we want them to realize they're sinners. We teach them about creation because we want them to realize that one day they will give account to their Maker. But let's point them to Christ. Let's be signposts to the Savior. Let's talk of Christ to the children. But let's not only talk of Christ to them, let's walk with Christ. Talking of Christ, but walking with Christ. The Lord Jesus is the one that we walk with. The hymn writer said, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. Now, we're walking as parents and as grandparents, we're walking with the Savior along the narrow way, okay? Hand in hand, our hand and the nail-pierced hand of Christ. It's a partnership. And I want us to understand as parents and grandparents today that as we seek to train up our children in the way that they should go and train up our grandchildren in the way they should go, we're not alone. It's a partnership. The Lord Jesus is with us in this great enterprise. And you see, the good thing to know today is that the Savior is the one who loves the children and he loves the young people. We read in Mark chapter 10 that when the mothers and the parents brought their children to Christ, even though the disciples tried to push them away, yet the Savior, he welcomed the children to him. He took them up in his arms and he blessed them. He's the lover of the young. And then we read after that, that whenever the parents went away with their children, that a young man came running. You know what it says? Jesus, beholding him, loved him. The person who walks with us along the narrow way, he's the lover of the children. He's the lover of the young. And so he says in this great enterprise, as we seek to train up the children in the way they should go, he says that he is with us. He is our partner, if you like. We're not on our own. Yes, we are to be signposts along life's narrow way. And then I want you to notice finally here what The verse tells us, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If we train up the children in the way they should go, if we make the effort to rear and to raise the children according to the word of God, then the Bible says, when he is old, when she is old, they will not depart from it. I suppose we're talking here about a word that old Tom Cross, the Reverend Tom Cross, the father of independent Methodism, well, that's my opinion anyway, he's the father figure. But anyway, Brother Cross used to always talk about stickability. The word he used was stickability. I remember as he taught in the Bible college, time and time again, you know, he would say, you know, you need stickability. You young students, may God give you stickability. Well, thank God it's possible for a child to have stickability, a young person to have stickability as they grow up. In other words, what I'm saying here is that the child does not need to backslide. One of the greatest tragedies in Ulster in our day and generation is the percentage of children who make a profession, but they backslide and they drift away. It's a tragedy and it's a crying shame. But you see, the Bible says that that doesn't need to happen. Let's try to understand this part of the verse as we finish. You've been patient today and you've listened well. But let me try to explain what these words mean as we finish. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, first of all, what it doesn't mean. This phrase does not mean that the child will backslide and live for the devil all their lives, and then when they're about to die, they'll come back to the Lord. That's not what it means. Now, I know, and I want to say this today, if you have a child, a son or a daughter, and you've raised them and you've trained them up the way they should go, and they have went astray, and they're in the world today, and that they're not in church, they've no time for Jesus, I want to encourage you today that that can happen. Praise God, the Lord can bring the backslider back. He can restore that erring child of yours. He can bring them back to himself. And that's what we pray for day by day, week by week. And the Lord is able to do that. He's able to restore the backsliders. He did it for me. To my shame, I was a backslider. And if he can do it for this old excuse of a preacher in the pulpit today, he can do it for your sons and daughters, for your loved ones. But what I'm trying to say is that that's not what Proverbs 22 is talking about. This verse is not saying that teach your children the word of God when they're young, and don't worry if they backslide, well, it's no big deal, because later in life they'll come back to the Lord. That's not what the verse is teaching. What does it mean then? Let's get to the crux. This verse does mean, this phrase does mean, that the child need not backslide. That it's possible for the child to receive Christ when they're young and remain faithful to him all their days. We're not saying that the child, that the young person will never feel as they grow older, that they'll never make a mistake, that they'll never fall into sin. We're not saying that, but when they do, they will confess and return immediately. And there'll be no drifting into bypath meadow and spending years in bypath meadow. That's not the way it has to be. And you see, I believe what the Holy Spirit is saying here is, if the child is trained while they're young, and they're trained up in the way that they should go, then it's possible, it's gloriously possible, for them to remain faithful to Jesus all their lives. They don't have to backslide. It doesn't have to be the case that there's parents, fathers and mothers When the child grows older and they're weeping and shedding tears over the wayward child, it doesn't have to be like that. Thank God. And my prayer today is that God will restore your erring sons and your erring daughters. My prayer today is that God will restore the erring sons and daughters of Christians in churches right across Ulster today. For churches are full of broken-hearted parents who are in church this morning, but the children aren't. And my earnest prayer today is that God will rid Ulster of the disease of backsliding. That God will save children and God will keep them. And that backsliding will become a thing of the past. That's what this verse is teaching. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. At the end of life's journey, that man, that woman will be able to say, Lord, thank you for the upbringing that I received. And because of that upbringing, by your grace, I have remained faithful to the cause of Christ. That's what we desire for our children, our grandchildren, for the children who will come to the Bible Club next week. Lord, save these children. And Lord, may they never wander from thee. What does the chorus say? We've sung it so often. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Let's pray.